I'm going to call the meeting to order. Thank everyone for coming up on a Friday afternoon, or Friday morning, I mean, for this meeting. We have the minutes from February 27th in our packet. Representative Sertich, would you be so kind as to move? Representative Sertich moves the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And we have the minutes from February 5th in our packet. I'm sorry, March 5th. Representative Carlson moves. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, I'd like to turn the chair over to Representative Holbrook as we present the first thing on the agenda today, which is the requirement for place of government.
Madam Chair, I think the first motion has to be that I move that House concurrent resolution number 2 be recommended to pass.
Thank you, Representative Solberg.
And then, Madam Chair, I think there's an amendment, HCR 2A1.
We do have the A1 amendment, and Representative Solberg moves the A1 amendment, I assume, to get his resolution in the shape in which you'd like to discuss it.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair and members, the law requires us to do a place of government resolution by the 15 days after the last forecast. So this is a resolution that will be on the House floor probably on Monday of this coming week. The resolution says that there's three parts to it. For the fiscal years 08 and 09, there's a maximum share of personal income to be collected in taxes and other revenues. That includes fees and everything else. The division of those revenues between local and state, and then some type of what the anticipation of those revenues distribution would be in the future. Working with the forecast and with the governor's office, the Department of Finance, we have established the forecast numbers that were given to us in February. And those forecast numbers you can see in your amendment are 16.0% in 08 and 09 and 15.7% in 10 and 11. Again, working with the forecast in the Department of Finance, the numbers that they have given us in the February forecast, the split is 61 and 39 percent between state and local. And the third one is this resolution assumes less reliance on local tax rates in the future. The statement that the third statement is a goal, I think, of all of us as we sit around this table. So I'm here for questions, and that's the extent of the resolution.
Okay. Representative Brown.
Madam Chairman, Representative Solberg, I know we should know this, but I just don't. Do we have the, is there any kind of a chart or any indication of what's happened to the price of government over the past few years?
Representative Solberg, I believe
Mr. Marks is
pulling out some documents, but maybe the pages could help distribute. But Representative Solberg.
The place of government in 1992-93, when we first started this exercise, was 17.1. It's gone down. It went up in 2006 and 7. It went down to a low of 15.6 in 2002 and 3, and it went up to 15.4% in or 16.4% again in 2006 and 7, as you can see on the chart. There is some controversy, obviously, about what is included in that price of government calculation, particularly as it relates to the non-state sources of revenue, things such as, and I don't know if they've been taken in or out, but like a municipal liquor store is counted as income, as a revenue source. Golf clubs, if they're owned by a municipality, the fees for that is becomes part of the price of government. College tuition becomes, I think, part of the price of government. So all of those factions are in the price of government. And sometimes we think of the price of government as being taxes and expenditures within the tax code. And this does not include that. It includes fees and other things as well. So I don't know if that answered your question, Representative Kahn.
Well, I'm done, Kahn.
Madam Chairman, you know, I've never thought that this meant very much, and that I don't know how much time goes into doing the calculation and how much effort, and I gather it doesn't include anything that the federal government is doing. Federal...
Representative Solberg.
Federal government isn't in part of our price.
I think if you're correct, Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, and the staff is indicating yes. I rely on them for that.
I think that
further shows how meaningless this is to anybody, but if it did mean anything, I'm personally offended that my price of government has gone down.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair,
Representative Solberg.
I would... agree with your first part of that statement anyway, that it is a meaningless somewhat exercise. But I think it also does provide some type of indication of what people pay in fees and taxes and everything else. One of the things that you have to realize also in the calculation, Representative Kahn, that is given to you in the worksheet, that much of the price of government percentage-wise is in relationship to the Minnesota personal income. And that's as you divide that big number into the other number, will have a big variation on the percentage of price of government as well.
Representative Kahn, any other questions?
Well, I just... what's covered then by that Minnesota personal income, for example? What about coupon clippers and so forth? Is that considered Minnesota personal income?
Madam Chair, and Representative or staff, Bill Martin.
I just want to make sure that former Representative Bishop is paying his share. I thought maybe you had something against coupon clippers or something.
Mr. Chair and members, the personal income number is the U.S. Department of Commerce number for Minnesota, and I'm not familiar with just what's in it and what isn't, but it's a pretty standard number.
Representative Stegum.
Madam Chair, I'd be better off if I said nothing. But
it's Friday.
I want to personally record it as a no on the contract.
No, I'm sure that's not part of my amendment.
Any additional questions, comments, concerns? Representative Paulson.
So Representative Solberg, Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I'm following the worksheet then. February forecast comes in on this 0809 number.
Worth nothing.
Of what, $69 billion, right, over that biennium. And so there is a range. With this resolution you are offering, there's a range of $69,987,000,000. So that gives you basically a little wiggle room to, you know, raise other revenues about $130 million. So in effect, this is capping what taxes or revenues could be raised at $130 million. It's from a state perspective. I know there's some things you can do with general levy, but can you give me an indication maybe what you're thinking might happen with, you know, state money going into local property tax relief, or kind of what your intentions might be there?
Representative
Goldberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Paulson, I might be standard corrected by this, but as example, let's say you raise a state tax and you lower a property tax, it changes the mix on the bottom, but does not necessarily change the amount of taxes being collected, because you're replacing one tax with another tax. The place of government is a spending number. If you raise a tax and you spend it on a family in the nursing home, then that's an increase in the place of government.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg,
Representative Paulson.
Can you provide any more insight then on maybe what, you know, as the targets are being developed and, you know, that process is going to go forward? I mean, do you expect that, you know, the state will pick up, you know, raise more revenue at the state level to provide property tax relief, which we heard obviously a lot about in the election? I mean, because you can do that shift or balance, as you mentioned. I mean, can you give us a little more insight about what you may be intending to do there?
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Paulson, we're really working strong on that issue as well, and I know Representative Mark Bart is holding lots of hearings on it, and they'll be holding hearings, I think, with Representative Dreiling on the education, because they're so intertwined on property tax issues. The governor has proposed some, and we'll be taking a look at that. I can't answer your question right now, and I'm not trying to avoid it. I'm just saying I don't know, and by saying that the bottom number that our hope is that there's less reliance on the locals as opposed to the state is an assumption that we're trying to make, and I think that's an assumption also that many of us around this table are hoping for.
And Representative Solver, just for clarification purposes then, so if because the 16% provides a pretty narrow range of spending combined local and state, if we were to see less reliance on local taxes, then we might assume that there'd be increases in state taxes. Is that what you're saying?
He didn't say that, but there may be more spending into the area of tax relief, Madam Chair, and the governor has done some of that as well in a couple of areas. I know he's counting some of his spending that he's doing as property tax relief.
Oh, and so maybe there's a better way to clarify this. With, I believe we're about $130 million below the cap before we'd have a change in the price of government figure. In other words, for a net change, there can't be an increased spending of more than that $130 million. So in other words, if we were to provide more than that in property tax relief, then we'd have to see corresponding increase in the state's revenues to offset that.
That's a possibility.
In order to stay within that 16%.
That's a possibility, yeah.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman and Representative Solberg, this is obviously a concurrent resolution, so I guess we can't amend it with statutory language. But I'm going to pledge to make my personal contribution to lowering the price of government to repeal the requirement to do this and take out probably that much of the statute. And you can look for that in the omnibus state government finance.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kahn.
I've indicated many times that I thought this was probably a tool that actually the Department of Finance could do if they wanted to,
yeah,
as well. But I am concerned about the number of resources that we put into something that sometimes doesn't have much meaning for it. And particularly as it is calculated, how do you determine the amount of money that comes in from a municipal liquor store, let's say, or a golf course, a municipal-owned golf course, and how much time and effort is put in by somebody in the staff to be able to come up with some of those numbers and try to have some accuracy for it when we probably could be using those resources to probably have more tax compliance or something else.
Okay, I won't even ask for a fiscal impact statement about how much we can save in the total budget by doing it. We'll just try and do it.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the House resolution? All right, any additional questions, comments, or concerns? Representative Solberg, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair, and thank you. I remove my motion that House Concurrent Resolution Number 2, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the House.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion is adopted.
Thank you
very much, Chair Solberg.
Members, we do have the second thing on the agenda is as we try to get public input into the target setting process, given an opportunity for members of the legislature to come before us for a short statement. And I have an indication that Representative Emmers would like to do that. So, Representative Emmers, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, let me start by thanking you for asking for the input. We truly appreciate that this committee is interested in hearing what the House Republican Caucus would propose for budget targets. And I would just say, Mr. Chairman, two things before I start. First, I don't know whether you're celebrating, whether you're disappointed, or whether you could care less that your neighbors over in Grand Rapids knocked off the hated children from Edina last night.
Mr. Representative Emmers, can I respond to that? I got a smile on my face.
The cake will rise in the future. And then second, I find this somewhat ironic that our minority leader, Marty Seifert, who would normally be here to present this to you, was unable to do this. I have to pinch hit for him because he had to go do his taxes. So I think that that'll set up what we're doing here this morning just fine. Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, first, what I'm going to do is give you an overview of what we would propose for this year's, or the budget for the next biennium. Obviously, the proposals that I will be providing to the committee this morning are subject to being impacted through the committee process, and you already have many of these in the form of bills that are that have been offered by members of the Republican caucus as well as by members from your side of the aisle. Essentially, the message is this. $32.7 billion is enough. $32.7 billion is essentially a third that's already built in, a third in tax relief that we would propose, and a third in new spending. And essentially, this is what the... let me also add, the proposed budget... The proposed targets that I'm going to provide to you, we believe, meet the priorities for all of Minnesota, as well as the priorities that all of us spoke at length about last summer and last fall. These proposed targets will take care of not only property tax relief, which I heard a little bit of a discussion this morning, it'll take care of our school kids, our nursing homes, and our veterans. And I will be brief, Mr. Chairman. We are proposing the biggest budget for K-12 education in state history. We are using the governor's proposal at $13.75 billion. This is an increase of nearly $1 billion. We are seeking over $1 billion in property tax relief. This is through the plan that has already been proposed by Representative Swigum. It would use the one-time money, cut property taxes by 15% for the next year, and would be allocated to counties that hold the growth of local spending to the rate of inflation. We are seeking to cut income taxes by $300 million for all working Minnesotans. These funds would be used to cut the bottom rate of income taxes for all workers. This will provide the help most for the working poor. We are proposing the biggest budget for veterans affairs and military programs in state history. Again, we're using the governor's proposal of $70 million. This is an increase of 51%. We are adopting the governor's proposal for property tax aids and credits. The total is $3.172 billion. This is an increase of 4.9%, almost 5% over the current biennium. It's $148 million. And we are also adopting the governor's proposal for all other programs, which is almost another billion. For higher education, we are proposing an increase of $110 million over the current budget. For environment and agriculture, we are proposing an increase of $15 million over the current budget. For economic development, we are proposing an increase of $14 million over the current budget. For transportation, we are proposing an increase of $9 million over the current budget. For public safety, we are proposing an increase of $68 million. For state government, we are proposing an increase of $23 million. For health and human services, we propose that we propose to keep this stable, and we propose to do that through a couple of different methods. Jim Abler, Representative Jim Abler, has offered many of these already in legislation. He is proposing, through different bills that he's offered, $250 million in savings from a set of health care reforms, which I think would take too long to go through this morning. In summary, our budget provides an increase in new spending of $1.4 billion. That should be enough. Minnesotans have to live within their checkbook. They have to live within their increase. We are simply suggesting that the state of Minnesota be required to make the same difficult choices. And frankly, $1.4 billion in new spending from our perspective makes the decision rather easy. Again, these proposed targets will take care of significant property tax relief, which we all assured the public that they would get. It will take care of our school kids as one of our top priorities. It will take care of our nursing homes and those employees, and it takes care of our veterans, those who have made the ultimate sacrifice so that all of us could be here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, thank you. Representative Hammer, appreciate you coming down. And let me also state publicly that I have appreciated very much the opportunity to have visited individually with each of the different groups, Republicans and Democrats alike, of the different committees. They've provided me and the this committee, hopefully, with insight. I want to publicly thank also my staff for trying to set up 26 different meetings and trying to coordinate that with both of the caucuses of the different spending meetings. Thank you. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I might, just from the minority perspective, are you able to let us know when you think targets are going to be available and when we'll have the majority's budget plan?
Representative Holbrook, you have my commitment that as soon as I can, I will share those with you in its entirety. As you all know, this is a complicated process. Again, I have met with all kinds of groups, including Democrats and Republicans of each of the committee members. I will share with you that from both sides of the political aisle, as I meet with them in groups, we would probably have additional spending of about $7 billion. Half of that from one side and half from the other. So we're going to make some tough priority decisions. But in all seriousness, I want to thank all your members for participating in that, along with the public. As the new rules state, we need to have it done by the 25 days after the forecast, the 25th. My goal is to do that quite a bit sooner.
And Mr. Chair, as you well understand, with putting omnibus bills together and all the process associated with that, it's difficult to begin to prepare a amendments and input to the individual omnibus bills without any targets, so that we'd be happy. And we do appreciate your outreach and the time that you spent with our members, and are anxiously awaiting those numbers so that we might be able to look towards some of our initiatives in the omnibus bill process.
Representative Hobart, I will pledge to you I'll do it as fast as I possibly can. I hope to have this done next week. I really do. And have it done formally by next week. That's the previous years, it's been, I think the total budget process was 32 days. There was, you know, one process of the total and then the budgets. The rules have changed that to 25 days. I hope to shorten that for the same reason that you stated, to allow the committees to do their work and allow that process to take place. We just received the governor's supplemental budget document last night. I know Mr. Marks has been in communication with the Department of Finance, trying to find the details. He's had some frustrations this morning of trying to get some of those details to see where the governor wants to go on. But we do have a larger number, I think, a big number from the governor, but not the details, and we're trying to understand some of those. So that's complicated things a little bit. It would have been nice if we'd had those figures a little bit earlier. Any other questions? Representative Swiggle?
Mr. Chairman, I saw the Senate came out with their targets. What's your reaction to those targets?
I don't react to their targets. That's it.
I'd like to...
You can react all you want, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to know your reaction.
The Senate is the Senate, and the House is the House, and the Governor is the Governor. Representative McNamara. I'm sorry, I didn't see you sitting there.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm trying to understand, being relatively new to this system and being on Ways and Means for the last 2 years, can you tell me, will we still play the same role, the Ways and Means Committee, as we used to do? And I know Chair Carlson is here today. I'm wondering, what role will the Finance Committee, will all the omnibus bills still go here? Will they also travel through the Finance Committee? And which one will they be to last before they go to the floor?
They'll come to the Ways and Means Committee last.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And will they travel then from, like the Environment Bill, will it go through Finance Committee before it comes to Ways and Means?
Yes. And if there are some tax changes in that or some other things that the Tax Committee will need to see, they will also have to go there as well. But the final stop will be here before it goes to our charge is to set the budget targets and to make sure that the committees stay within that budget target as well.
So again, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I can understand this committee will play the same role as it did for the last couple of years. It will be at the final stop for all the money bills prior to going to the floor?
Representative McNamara, yes, and hopefully... it'll be a little bit of change as well, and we don't have 50 amendments for each of the bills as we've had the last couple of years. And I'm not being critical of that, but I think there was an awful lot of fixing up of the bills that needed to, as we went through this process the last couple of years, there were, and some of them were coming from our side, and some of them, a lot of them from the majority side at the time. I really am charging the committees to do their work. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not amendable in here or in Representative Carlson's committee. But hopefully by the time they get here, we don't have to have a plethora of amendments to change priority spendings and fix them up. That doesn't mean that it can't be done here, but hopefully that the committees do their work in that process.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Earhart.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know. I was going to ask the Representative Emmer if he put this transportation budget together. I mean, maybe he didn't. Maybe Marty did. So he might not know anything about it. Can you tell me if you are...
Representative Emmer, do you want to respond to Representative Earhart's...
I was going to ask,
Representative Earhart,
where that $9 million comes from, Mr. Chairman, that we're proposing here.
Representative Earhart?
Nobody knows about this?
If you, or Representative Emmer, if you're able to answer that, or if you want to shift
well,
to him afterwards.
Mr. Chairman, if he doesn't care to answer it, that's fine with me.
I'd be happy to answer it.
Representative
Emmer. Talk to him after?
No, it doesn't matter. Representative Emmer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, we're proposing $225 million for transportation.
Ah.
That's an increase of $9 million over the current budget. It's going to be met through other transportation needs will be met through funds that were approved through the constitutional amendment, and the bonding bill is what we anticipate.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help?
Sure.
No.
Maybe
that's all right. Wherever you got them, it's all magic anyway, I guess.
Well, Representative Earhart, maybe you can have a conversation with Representative Emmer's also. Okay, any other discussion? If not, the meeting is adjourned, and thank you for attending.